This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Live from ESPN Studios in New York City, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And yes, we are brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. Bart Scott, it is hour number three. And what does that mean?
The power hour! And it's the most power. I would have got a Red Ball.
Oh, my goodness.
It'll give you wings. Red Balls, baby.
Wait a minute. It's not.
Well.
It's Red Bull.
Well, Dave Chappelle calls it Red Ball, yep. Right?
Phrasing.
And I can't say red. You know what? Because they ain't giving us no cheese on our tacos.
Right.
So you get no free love here.
But it's not called that. What you just said.
What Dave Chappelle said?
Yeah, it's not called that.
It's not official?
No.
Oh, that's a U, not an
yeah. A. Phrasing.
Yeah.
I didn't read. My dyslexia kicked in.
Yeah, be careful with that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. I guess holding the microphone by the gong does, in fact, work.
It does?
Yeah, got a few tweets.
You caused no pile-up or no accident, did you?
Well, I did get one tweet that did concern me. It was somebody that is driving on the Bell Parkway and said his whole car was shaking.
Got that volume up on bleak.
Sorry about that. Dun. So, but we do this because instead of, you know, we just do the gong instead of the, you know. It's out now, right? Like, can we stop?
Retire with the salt shaker.
The whole bing bong thing. It's like.
Hold on, Alan, hold on.
What?
You put that bing bong in there because you was a habitual bing bonger. You always
bong. That's not. It's not somebody saying it. You don't say it. Cole Anthony walked off the court last night, looked in the camera, and was like, bang, bang. Like, you know, once they start using it against you like that, getting all
passive-aggressive, yeah.
It's like, all right, that's out. That is an actual ding-dong from a subway, and it's a cool way for us to say goodbye at the end of the show. That's why at the end of the show, Bubba loves when we do this.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Let you know the doors are closing. Our train is now moving on.
I see what you're doing.
I love that. That's why we put it there. And when Bubba says 5 seconds,
no,
I hit it.
I see what you're doing, Alan Hahn. It's very crafty of you, really witty of you.
What did I do?
But the reason that you put that in there is not because you thought it was a good way to say goodbye.
I think it's a great way to say
it's
goodbye.
It's because the Knicks were saying, bing bong, get on board. Yeah. We're going to close up the doors behind you. We have no room for people jumping on the bandwagon.
I don't know what you're talking
and
about.
Now you're getting rid of the bing bong, and you want to try and get rid of the bing bong just as fast as the salt shakers were thrown into the trash because it wasn't marinating the seasoned meat there for the Mets.
Listen.
You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
Lock it up. Lock it up.
Right? All right, enough. Enough for you in this.
So are you saying you're on the Mets band? You're on the Knicks bandwagon? You closing the doors because they're hitting some adversity? So you don't want nobody else? Everybody that's criticizing the Knicks today can't jump on?
No, the criticism is real. I mean, you can't like losing at home. See, like the Lakers losing to the Bucks last night. No LeBron.
Yeah,
we criticize Anthony Davis because I thought you were a top five player in the league. I thought you were a star. Why do you need? Well, we don't have LeBron. Why do you need that excuse? Like, you can't do it? You're not good enough to win a game?
You still got another MVP with you.
I mean, you're 8-8. Like, what are we doing? So, you know, that's fair criticism. So the same thing could be said for the Knicks. This is a team that has depth, that has a good starting five as far as offensive talent, and yet it's been brick city for this team offensively. And everybody's pointing to it, the defense, and saying, what's wrong with the defense? Well, actually, the defense, what's wrong with the defense is that the offense is so bad, it's putting so much pressure on the defense. The defense has problems, yes, but their offense should be better than this. Mm. It's embarrassingly bad. The turnovers, Bart, they stepped out of bounds like 5 times in the game. You stepped out of bounds. There's a line that tells you this is where you stop.
Is it
don't step on it.
Is it a bowl line? Or is it just a thin line?
We're going to do this now? But it just gets maddening. The passing, the one-handed pass, the turnovers that are just – you slap yourself from watching. And then you think – I got a friend of mine text me, what's wrong with this team? I said, they're not a smart team.
Yeah.
It's not a smart team. The coach is smart, and you see him watching this thing, and he wants to rip whatever hair he has left out. Because you think to yourself, like, these are self-inflicted wounds. This is not the other team is just better than you. This is the other team plays smarter and plays harder than you do. And it's maddening. So I saw this stat, and I think I showed it to you. It blew my mind. Right? So shotquality.com is his website, and they value shots in a game, an analytics site. And they every single shot has a value of a good shot, quality shot. Based on just the analytics of the type of shots the Knicks had last night,
yeah,
they should have won the game 104-98. No, I'm sorry. That was the final score. I'm sorry. I got it backwards. They should have won the game 102-93 based on just the quality of shots. So they had a 77. They say based on these shots, their analytics tells them that the Knicks would win this game 77% of the time. But they didn't because they turned the ball over with the most ghastly turnovers you could think of. And they were brick city when it comes to just making shots. Couldn't make a damn shot. Nothing. And the starting five looks not bad. Now it's gotten to pathetic levels where they just look so awful. You wonder, hey, you five, do you even want to play together? Because it doesn't look like there's any real cohesiveness between you. And it looks like you're trying to make it work versus really want to make it work.
Yeah, we are
maddening.
We applauded the fact early in the year that they were attempting all these threes, and R.J. Barrett was hitting his threes, and you know Fournier came in, especially the opening game against the Boston Celtics.
That
was
able great.
To light it up.
That in Orlando was his two best games.
And Kemba's hitting shots. But the same thing make you laugh, make you cry, right? You know, that it's not consistent. So you know what happens is you're forcing bad habits because are they good shots? I don't know. I watched, you know, when I came to the game the other day, Derrick Rose threw a couple of off-balance. I'm just saying, but they're not hitting at a high clip. Not that they're bad shots. That they're not falling, right? And you know, they're trying to show that they're evolved, right? This was a team that took less threes than anybody in the last couple of years. Now they're trying to get up there and they're trying to adjust and they're taking two. It's a fine line in between that. Like, you don't have the Splash Brothers sitting out there. So it's interesting, man. You said something earlier, right?
What did I say?
I meant to ask you the question then. I guess I would ask the people, too.
All right.
2 years ago, Anthony Davis was considered – it was LeBron James and Anthony Davis the year that they won the championship.
Yeah.
And now, just a year later, do you believe that Giannis is a better player than Anthony Davis? You talk about Anthony Davis as a two-way player.
How many MVPs has Anthony Davis won?
Yeah, but listen. Just because you don't
Giannis
have –
Giannis is a better player.
But just because you don't have the MVPs –
doesn't matter. He's a better player.
But before – okay, not 2 years ago. 2 years ago, they said that Anthony Davis was the second best.
Well, that was ESPN's experts.
Yeah, but he was had a lot of holes in
Anthony
Giannis'
Davis, I think, at number two in the league.
Giannis keeps adding to his game because now he looks more comfortable shooting a three-pointer. His free throws looks better, which is going to raise up his average. But you used to say and believe, everybody believed that Anthony Davis is a more skilled player
Giannis
as well.
Is on the court more than Anthony Davis. Davis, every time he goes down on the floor, you're wondering, is he going to get hurt miss some time?
So your answer is yes, that you think not only he's the better player, do you think he's the more talented player? Now that he's added to his game.
Yeah, Giannis is a far more complete player because you also have to add the physicality part of it.
Well, athletically, Anthony Davis can be a big man, right?
Does he play like a big
man?
Saying,
but
he can take the perimeter constantly.
But he can take Never it down
want,
low.
He doesn't want to play. No, he can't. He doesn't want to play that game. He doesn't want to be a center. He wants to be on the outside.
So if you're starting your team
this guy,
right now,
with his skill set, should be averaging 30 and 15 a game.
Take the health away. Take the help away.
All right.
Giannis, Anthony Davis, you're starting your team. Who you taking?
Like right now, those players?
No. Right now, but Anthony Davis is healthy. He's not going to get hurt. He's healthy. Giannis is Giannis. He's healthy.
I take Giannis because I know his mentality is one of a guy who's going to grind.
Okay.
I don't see that Anthony Davis.
You're saying Anthony Davis is soft.
Let me ask you this. In the finals last year, Giannis had a gruesome knee injury, right? We thought he was done.
Yeah, well, kind
right?
of
Remember
life.
That? Yeah. We thought he was done. It was over.
Yep.
Dude comes back and has an epic for 50 points. He was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable block, chase down block, just his effort. on a knee that we thought was gone. Okay. So does Anthony Davis even play in the next game?
So are you comparing Anthony Davis? If you compare Giannis's finals run to the title and Anthony Davis's performance in the bubble in the title, who was the better player in the fight in their championship?
Not even close. Giannis. Not even close.
So you're
Anthony Davis played in a bubble, a controlled environment, no fans.
All that about. I'm just talking
Giannis
about,
played I'm just in an arena where they were chanting, they were counting numbers when he was at the free throw line, mocking him at every turn, mocking him. He took it all and just kept going.
Going against an inferior opponent, though, too.
Not really.
Who faced the tougher person in the championship?
The Heat were pretty much exhausted. Yeah, that finals.
Okay. So I'm just saying, like, I mean, I think it's an interesting thought. It's an interesting part because before last year, remember, Giannis had more on the line than anybody. Like, Budenholzer had more on the line than anybody. If they would have lost to the Nets, they would have broke that team up, right, after going all in.
I don't know if they would have, but there was Budenholzer talk that they
should have. Budenholzer would have got fired.
There was a lot of talk of that. If KD hits that three, which he did hit it, but if his toe wasn't on the line and that series now ends and the Bucks are out and the Nets go to the conference final against Atlanta, like, what happens to the Milwaukee Bucks at this point? And this GQ story that's out, the cover story, where he says, you know, who knows where I'm going to be in 2 years looking for the next challenge. It could be somewhere else. That would have a lot deeper meaning than it does now.
Yeah, but now, you know, man, it's so layered, right?
Because it is layered.
I believe Anthony Davis is the better player, but I think it's close because I think from a skill set position, like, I think –
Bart, give me a football player that you said has all the talent to be great but doesn't have the real, like, that toughness that, like, if he had this kind of toughness, like, if he had your toughness, he would have been a Hall of Famer.
Oh, well, that's easy, right? Because I would say that Revis would be Giannis and Cromartie would be Anthony Davis because Cromartie was –
He got hurt a lot, too.
Well, it was the fact that he was probably the most gifted athlete that I've ever been around.
Really?
But he was arrogant. He thought he knew it all. And he should have been a better player than Revis, but it wasn't even close. Revis was far more superior of a player than Cromartie because of the mentality, the work ethic, and the humility and the attitude to want to be great every day, every snap of practice, didn't matter what we were doing. I played with Revis, and Revis never allowed on a look team. We service ourselves, and guys be trying to, oh, I got you, Revis, and trying to, like, speed up and trying. And we're in walkthrough, trying to catch the ball on him. And he would kind of walk, and then when they try to catch the ball, he'll speed up and just smack it down. He wouldn't even let anybody catch the ball in those. Like, he never let anybody catch the ball.
I love that.
Ever. See, like, and this was a straight-up walkthrough. But Cromartie would be, oh, I got it. In practice, he'd give up a double move. I got it. And he didn't hold himself to that same excellence. So that would be the perfect comparison to me.
Sorry, so that answers the question. Isn't that an amazing thing, though? Like, that really is the difference between good and great, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the difference? Like, and most fans don't understand that. But that there is a fine line between good and great.
It is said if
one's maniacal, the other one is, you know, comfortable.
It is said that if Vince Carter had Kobe's mentality, he was probably one of the most gifted athletes and players from a skill set in the league.
Mm.
And he got away because his mentality wasn't that of a killer. He was a good player.
Really,
he was competitive.
Yeah.
But it's the difference between good or very good and great.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Julius Randle is somebody that last year had the mentality, became all NBA, had the best year of his career, got a big contract. All the things, you know, was basically said, all right, you are now the face of the New York Knicks. You're the face of this franchise. Led them to a playoff appearance that they haven't done in 8 years. And this thought of, okay, well, we've got a guy now to build around. And they tried to do that in the offseason. It has not worked so far, but Randle also has not looked like the same player. He's trying to be. He keeps talking about trying to be a leader, trying to do more things. But there are a lot of times with him, you see a lot of lackadaisical play, bad passes. And his shooting is nowhere near what it was last season. So when asked how he would assess how he's playing and the team is playing this season, here was his answer.
It hadn't been great. It hasn't been great. But, you know, like I said, a lot of this stuff is rhythm, trying to find each other out. I think it's been exactly how the season has went. Like, there's been good days and there's been not great days. And that's pretty much who we are right now. You know, we're not a consistent team, consistent basketball team yet. But we will get there.
Give me a reason to be patient. Give me a reason to not say to myself, I've got a month till the NBA trade season begins. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to deal. because I'm not – I'm the patience thing, the waiting, and like give it time. No. No, this was built to win, to be a competitive team. Maybe not win a championship yet, but be competitive. This is not competitive. This is the opposite. Okay. You're losing games to bad young teams in your damn building. Give me a reason to not want to start making calls and thinking about ripping up what I put together this offseason.
Because you believe in the talent, right? And we see this across the NBA team struggling. You mentioned the Lakers, right? They haven't figured out how to be a unit, a cohesive unit. They haven't figured out how to accept their roles in certain situations. Who do we go to? Who do we trust? That's all has to be proven for you to trust somebody. You can't just say, Thibodeau can't say trust me. They got to put them in that environment, put them in those situations so that they can show up, right? We see it, you know, it's surprisingly, teams that have a lot of new starters that just have played well is Washington Wizards and the Chicago Bulls.
Wizards have been very
good. But we've seen it a little bit with the Nets. We've seen it with the Lakers. So you just have to be patient. When you have four or five new starters or two or three new starters into the lineup, everybody has to figure out what's their role. Julius Randle's trying to figure out, okay, who do I defer to if I have to defer a little bit because this was my team. Now it has to be our team because now, before, he had a bunch of young guys following him and a lot of journeymen, right? So now he has some former all-stars or guys that think they're good, and now RJ Barrett is stepping up and thinking, hey, man, I can do more. So, like, it's like everybody has to get comfortable in their roles. Remember today when we were talking, I think I was talking to Legs, and he was like, the Golden State Warriors have the most selfless, superstars they've ever been in the sport because everybody gets to shine there, right? We don't just talk about Steph Curry and Klay. We talk about Draymond. We talk about Iguodala because everybody gets shine in their role. That way there's no envy, right? Because I may not score all the points, but what I do being a glue guy, what I do leading the second unit, I get praised for.
But that's easier to do when you have a Steph Curry putting up 50 points and 10 assists in a game. Or hit 9 3-pointers in a game where Randle hasn't done that enough this year for everybody else to sort of settle in and go, well, that's clearly the guy. Like, there's been too many games where you're like, I'm Fournier, I'm looking at him like, anytime, dude, anytime, because I ain't getting the ball, anytime. You're just dribbling the air out of this thing. That's where I think the frustration comes in. That and that Kemba, who was a late addition, and we all were like, wow, they got Kemba. This is a great story, a New York guy. And can he find that all-star form that he used to have when he was with Charlotte and not the guy we saw in Boston? Yeah. And it's what we're seeing is no. Mm. No. So the bench has been fantastic. You don't want to break up the bench by changing the starting lineup because you really got something good going on there. It's a struggle to figure out what to do next other than just to admit these pieces that you added. And don't. By the way, I don't want to hear anybody tell me, oh, well, they miss Elfrid Payton. I won't hang up on anybody faster than if you say that to me. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's take Spike in Florida real quick. Hey, Spike.
Well, I'm going to be real quick because a friend of mine sounds like he's hurting today. And as a senior citizen, and I've been with you all the way, Al, and you know that, I'm going to calm you down a little bit because I got my angst out last night. You cannot do this. And I went over it with all the regulars that we used to call you at night. You cannot put everybody outside the three-point line and chuck up maybe 50 three-pointers. Julius Randle cannot have 2 free throw attempts in a game. Go back. You know I watch every dribble of every game. And Julius Randle made his salt getting to the free throw line the last 2 years. He got on that line sweating almost like Patrick and got his free throw percentage over 82%. Tibbs is trying to figure out one thing and one thing only, Alan, but who to close with, not who to start, who to close with. You've got to make that decision. Listen, stepping out of bounds, you can imagine what was tossed around in my home late last night. God. I'm sick and tired, and I've said it to the local boys here. The toughest thing to do for a team making a transition, you could refute it, I don't think you will, is to beat a bad team on your home court. Put them away. They're not doing it this year. Last year, I don't know what the Knicks were at home, but 72 games, they might have been 50 and 15, a ridiculously good, whatever the numbers are. They won about 80% of their games.
They were over 500 at home, and they won most of them in the second half of the season, Spike. And thank you very much, by the way. the way. I actually am fine. I'm having a great time today. I'm hanging out with great people, getting to talk sports with everybody. So I am annoyed about what I saw last night from the Knicks and frustrated by it. And I'm not the only one. Everybody in that organization is annoyed because it's not supposed to look like this, building off of what you saw last year. And I just feel there's not a lot of patience there. I'm not expecting there to be a great deal of patience with this. A lot of fans are thinking that's just how this team's going to look the rest of the year. I'm here to tell you, don't believe that for a second. All right, we'll continue with your calls. Also coming up, the Chiefs are less than a field goal favorite at home. Should they be? At Arrowhead? Well, it depends on the opponent. And you know who that opponent is, and we'll get some expert advice on that and more coming up next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn Johnson.
When you look at some of the other quarterbacks, they're not able to do what Dak was able to do on 3rd and 25.
Jay Williams.
It's going to take time for this team to find out what their identity is.
And now, Max Kellerman.
For a 10-year period, it's before Gettleman even, they've just been awful.
Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Welcome back. Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We go now to the Goodyear Hotline, as we do each week, with our good friend Doug Kazarian from Daily Wager, who joins us right now. Doug, how we doing, man?
Doing all right. Happy early Thanksgiving weekend. Busy time of year. I mean, college hoops is cranking. Obviously, all the major pro sports in this fall season. So it's really a really a lot going on.
Yeah, and we are a week away from Thanksgiving. So with that in mind, we're not going to get to talk to you next Thursday. Bart talks about how his dad, it's like the worst time of day for him is at 12:30 when the Lions play. Bart's from Detroit. And so it's Bears-Lions this year, correct?
Jeesh.
Yes, it is. So early game.
Can they flex this game at 9 a.m.? Can they make this like a London game? Can we put this on Yahoo?
I wanted Doug to give me odds on Bart's dad having indigestion.
Acid reflux.
Man, like, what would you put on this game?
I mean, what do you guys – this is a chance for them to win. What are you talking about? This is like their chance.
Look how he's pulling you in, Bart.
I'm not falling for that, man. But Justin Fields will break their heart like in the last drive. Like, these guys have more work. Like, what the hell was last week? Like, how do you even celebrate that? You know, we didn't win. We didn't lose,
though. You didn't lose.
Like, so do you, like, you don't have a victory money. You have a that's like getting a C minus. Like, I didn't fail.
You didn't fail.
Like, D's get degrees.
Well,
like, what the hell was that?
0-17. 0-17, you avoided. So that's key.
So, but 0-16 is still very much alive.
Right. It's still 0-1-16.
Yeah. Yeah. 0-16-1. All right. Let's get to good games, though. Let's get to some good games. Chiefs Cowboys is the one that I think is the exciting game of the weekend. As far as, again, when you're a fan and you're talking about importance for both teams, it's inside that little magic number of 3, though, right now. How do you approach this game?
So I love Dallas in this game. Obviously, I would not be shocked if I lose the bet. The Chiefs win by a field goal or more. But I just think we're overreacting to Kansas City looking great against the Raiders. I mean, a couple of those throws were just like toss-ups that Mahomes got away with. In Las Vegas, let's face it, the human element, a lot of distractions lately. And then DeSean Jackson drops, you know, does whatever he does. The Raiders were moving the ball just fine on them. Kansas City beat them, beat a Packers team with Jordan Love instead of Aaron Rodgers, and then beat a Giants team that had no receivers. Mm. Let's pump the brakes. They only covered one of those three in this win streak. Chiefs still have not overwhelmed anyone, right? They've beaten the three non-Cowboy teams in the NFC East. They beat the Raiders. They beat the Packers without Rodgers, right? And then they beat the Browns in week one when Mahomes was spectacular and the comeback down double digits. So this is not exactly a reliable and consistent team. Meanwhile, Dallas is 8-1 against the spread. They stubbed their toes certainly against Denver, but they bounced back last week. I think they're going to get the win out right here.
Ooh.
Now, you speak of those Raiders, and I don't know what to think of them, right? Because I understand the human element that they faced a lot, but Derek Carr was putting up historic numbers, and I know Henry Ruggs was a part of that. But the Bengals, who struggled and had their own struggles, road favorites? What say you?
You know, it's fascinating because from a week-to-week standpoint, betting in the NFL, to be successful, you almost have to forget what you last saw. And because there's always going to be overreactions. But with the Raiders, like, it was really bad the last couple of weeks. They lose the Giants, and you just wonder if it's going to fold like a cheap suit this season. But I personally think they're going to bounce back. But the problem is Cincinnati's a formidable team. I would take the Bengals if I had to, but I don't think we're going to see the wheels completely come off the Raiders. I think they're going to be okay here.
Doug Kazarian joining us right now from Daily Wager, talking about week 11 of the NFL. And, Doug, here's a game I want your advice on for me, because when I saw the line, I had a double take, and I thought, wait a minute. And this is a Colts team that I think is a really good team. And I know it's in Buffalo, but Buffalo laying 7 here, and you know I don't see this thing moving. But I just feel like that's way too disrespectful to a Colts team that's a really tough team. And I know it's up in Buffalo, but they can play that ground game. I feel like this game is going to definitely
play them well last year.
Yeah,
in the playoff, like, right? That game, the Colts went for it a bunch of times on fourth down. Maybe they played them the best of any team until the Chiefs. I'm with you. I would grab the 7. Now the market looks like it might get to 7.5. It's a lot of -7, -20.
Yeah.
But that's a key number. It's the second most common margin of victory since the extra points distance was moved back 2016, I believe. So it's going to take a lot to come off that 7 number to 7.5. Obviously, the Sharps will pounce if it gets to 7.5 because it's an extra possession. For me, the Colts defense is really impressive. Let me throw this back to you guys. AFC, completely wide open. We know that, right?
Yes.
What about the Colts at 30-1 to win it all? Win the AFC?
40-1. Bart?
30-1? Listen, I like them. I said if they got in, they're dangerous because of their offensive line.
Their
is so dominant. And listen, Jonathan Taylor is the best running back in the league now that King Henry has been, you know, in the garage for a couple of weeks. I tell you what, I like that. You know what? Let's get a pool of money together. Let's grab some money. You know, take out your pocket change. Let's place a bet.
That's a very interesting
number.
Because it's so true. Anything in the AFC can happen. Anything including. What are the Patriots right now? I need to know, Doug. Because there's so much talk
12 to 1,
now.
They were 25-1 a week ago.
Yeah.
And they've continued to come down. So the Patriots are, you know, the fastest riser, if you will. They're 12-1 to win the AFC, 25-1 to win it all. Obviously, it's wide open in the AFC. FPI has them as the second best team right now behind the Bills. So obviously that makes it difficult with the chasing the seeds and stuff.
Yeah.
But what's interesting about the Patriots is that they're off. You know, we talk about it in college, right? When you have like a freshman or sophomore quarterback, the offense is allowed to improve throughout the course of the regular season, right? There's no preseason. There's just camp. But you know, we see a team like Colorado's got a decent offense. They had a putrid offense earlier in the year because they have a freshman quarterback. Well, Mac Jones is allowed to improve as a rookie QB. The offense is allowed to get better. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And the defense is even coming around. And the last 4 weeks, they played almost twice as much zone in those 4 weeks than they did in the previous 6 games. So, and over time, since week 7, they have the number one defensive efficiency. They've only averaging 12 points. Cooking, and it kind of matches what the offense is doing, more possession, more first downs. They're, you know, there's just, it's just a nice complement of one another right now. And Belichick has this machine rolling.
Yeah, scary thought too, isn't it, for the entire AFC? All right, give us your best bets for the weekend, Doug.
Okay, so I like tonight, I like Atlanta's team total under 19.5. We know Belichick likes to take away your tendencies and your strengths. Well, Ridley's already out. Cordero Patterson's questionable. I have a feeling Belichick's going to eliminate Kyle Pitts because he's just such a force. I think he eliminates that, and there's really only been one quarterback who's succeeded and thrived against the Patriots this year. That was Dak in that thriller at Foxborough about a month ago. So I like the under 19.5 team total. I like the game under as well, but I like the under 19.5 for the Falcons. Now, going to the weekend, I mentioned I think Cowboys are my favorite play in that game. I would even do a teaser as well, tease the Cowboys from 2.5 to 8.5. So you go through those key numbers, the 3, 4, 6, 7, and then maybe tease it to something else. I like the Patriots pick them in a teaser. Maybe Buffalo minus one if you like that side. There's a few teaser options, but you're paying a tax on New England right now. They've won and covered four straight, so it's a high number, so I can't lay the 6.5. But I like other aspects of that game.
Love it. Good stuff. So you didn't mention that Colts. You're not going to play that Colts one, though, huh?
No, not the plus seven. Maybe if it gets to 7.5, I'll play them for sure. But yeah, I like that. Louisville tonight, guys. I like Louisville tonight. A little Thursday night college football on ESPN.
Little Maxon.
Duke's been horrible.
I just like Sam.
Yeah, you just
no,
like
Maxon's been early in the week. This is Louisville and Duke. So
Maxon's Wednesday. Yeah.
I like Louisville minus 20. Duke's been pretty bad all year. Their offense can't get going, even though I love David Cutcliffe. Louisville minus 20. They need a win to get bowl eligible. Next week they got Kentucky, which is a tough game, so they got to take care of business tonight. And Duke's, I mean, they've given up at least 45 in four straight games. That six-game skid where they've only covered one of those. So they're not afraid to get blown out. Louisville can blow teams out, just beat Syracuse 41-3. I like the Cardinals to roll.
This guy is a machine. Doug Kazarian, Daily Wager. Great to talk to you as always, my man. Take care.
You got it, fellas. Thanks for having me.
All right, all the best.
It was Rain Man.
He is a machine. I love it. Like he just spits it out. Does all the research, stays with him, understands the different components of it, how to play it. Just speaks the language, and it's fantastic. And I'll tell you what, again,
Charlie Babbitt's my brother.
It's so true, though. That Cowboys, you hear what he said about the Chiefs? Like I got caught up in it. Like, oh, the Chiefs back. That looked like the Chiefs. And he's saying, wait, let's take a look at it. Giants. Nobody was available. Like, the COVID hit that team, the receivers, all that stuff. They, right?
Barely beat Jordan Love.
So, you know, like, think about these different games that the Raiders have lost. And so that looked like a quality win for the Chiefs until you reconsider that the Raiders, I mean, the Chiefs beat teams like.
The only team they beat was Green Bay.
Jordan Love.
Yeah.
The Giants. Yep. Like, come on. Like, so when he breaks it down like that, you start to say to yourself, like, This is really the first real test. I thought the Raider game was a real test.
Yeah. And then how good does that Cleveland Brown win look now?
Right? You mean week one?
Yeah, that they barely won.
Yeah, the Browns have injuries have really affected the Browns, if you ask me. That running game was dominant. And then they lost both those guys for a while, and then they haven't been 100% since. So a lot of stuff to keep an eye on this weekend, of course. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So we'll continue with your calls and also ask this question. Did the Jets get it wrong with Joe Flacco this week? One prominent offensive mind tells us, oh, yes, they did. Wait till you hear this take coming up next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
TJ and Max.
Good morning. I listen to you guys every single morning.
Covering the biggest stories with the best guests and plenty of opinions.
I love listening to you guys. I love the banter. I love the conversation. I listen live every single morning.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2. Bart and Han.
Welcome back, Bart and Han. Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Damian Woody was on with us earlier, and he and Bart just went back and forth about the Jets situation. We talked about a little bit about how good can the Patriots be, too, as they play tonight to begin Week 11 as well. And you remember, Damian Woody was there when Tom Brady first started the embryonic stages of the Brady era at the beginning, when he was the guy that was just sort of managing the game. Don't make mistakes. Let the defense win it for you. Sound familiar? Yeah, that's what it sounds like they're doing with Mac Jones right now. And he said he sees similar things. If you missed any portion of the show, including that interview, you can always find all 3 hours of Bart and Han posted daily as a podcast. Available wherever you listen to podcasts. Just hit subscribe and you won't miss a thing. Well, as we talk Jets, Bart, we are talking about a decision that was made that we discussed yesterday a little bit, and it goes deeper today, about the Joe Flacco decision to make him the starter, this 37-year-old veteran quarterback who just joined the team a couple of weeks ago, have him start Sunday against the Dolphins instead of Mike White. Zach Wilson not available. We can all agree that if Zach Wilson was healthy, he'd be playing. No, regardless, right, Bart?
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with what the Dolphins did defensively against Lamar Jackson. No, he's got to play, correct?
Yeah, all right. Nothing.
All right, so that, let's just leave it there as far as we understand that part of it. But you still see that Mike White is essentially just getting benched for a veteran. That's true. He's getting benched. And we had on the morning show, Charlie Weiss, former Patriots offensive coordinator, and he talked about in many things how he would have handled this situation if he was with the Jets. If what do you want to see? What would you want out of this game? He was heavily critical of the Jets' decision.
If I'm 2-7, okay, I know that Zach Wilson is our future, and I want to have somebody who, if Zach Wilson goes down in the future, okay, as we progress and get better and become a playoff caliber team, I want somebody who I know can go in and isn't just mop-up guy, somebody that can win games for me. And at least Mike White, obviously he lit it up in one game, and even in the Colt game before he got hurt. I mean, he was playing very well. He was 7-for-11 with a touchdown and looked legit. I'd want to know more what I have with this guy. Do I need a legit number two, or is this the guy? I really don't want to hold the fort guy, and I think they have a candidate. If they didn't have a candidate, I could understand Joe Flacco being in there. But with Mike White apparently being healthy and ready to go, it makes no sense to me.
What do you think of that part? His explanation of why he would go with Mike White.
I think I'm listening to a Jet hater and also a dude that's been fired 3 times, so he wasn't great as a head coach. No brainer, he went. So clearly, if he makes those type of decisions, I would do the opposite of what he thinks. So that just suggests that Sal is doing exactly the right thing. I mean, what is he talking about? Maybe they already know what they have in Mike White, right? Because that's why they didn't sign a veteran to begin with. Right. So then Mike White goes out there. Now you want to evaluate the listen, Salah told you why. And listen, I told you why. Right. So I told you why. And I didn't talk to Salah. I just told you just from being around football my entire life, much like Charlie Weiss has been, what I think and believe what I would do. And I would, you know, understand that, hey, I want to be able to evaluate everybody else. And I need a quarterback that's going to go play at a high level. And that's what Joe Flacco is capable of doing to a better degree than Mike White. Mike White showed you that he couldn't handle the pressure. Now, he's going to be able to develop a little bit more as well because he's going to take a lot of the preseason snaps. He's going to be around. He's still a young player. But right now, I need to figure out how these other guys are because I need to figure out who I'm cutting at the end of this season and who I'm keeping. I know I'm keeping Mike White.
Why isn't it important for Mike White to experience this?
I know I'm keeping Mike White because he'll get that. We have time to get him experience, right? Like at the end of the day, I just want to evaluate these guys right now. Mike White, you can always go back to Mike White, right? Mike White is going to be here for the next 2 years, right? Zach Wilson isn't your starter.
So this is your quarterback combination, is Zach Wilson and Mike White. This is what you're going forward with, and you feel confident in that.
I feel confident in it, but Mike White still has some development to do as well when it's a different defense. It's just not a bend-don't-break defense when it's aggressive attacking style defense, and he'll get those other opportunities, you know. But I just need to see Joe Flacco because I want to see. You heard what he said. He's like, this offense has been doing what they need to do. He said these offense players been doing and playing at a high level. I want to see if they can keep it up. To be able to keep it up, you need somebody that's going to be able to have the pre-snap recognition to get the ball out, and that's Joe Flacco. You saw exactly what Joe Flacco did when he went there with the Bills. What did he do? He went and scored a touchdown.
What happens if they win this game?
It's not about the wins or losses. Nobody really cares.
Well, no. What if they win this game? Does this become the same thing? Well, now you got to play Joe Flacco.
No, it depends on who you're playing as a defense, from the defensive standpoint. You're going to play against some more vanilla defenses. It's okay. You'll play the Colts, right? No, they already played the Colts, right?
Yeah. Well, none of this makes sense to me. Bart tried to make sense of it. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
To drive 3 organizations without a gun.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.